All right, let's go to Central Ohio right now and join Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. And we got a lot of things to talk about. First and foremost, a lot of things going on in Central Ohio. Number one project is the Intel project. And Dorsey, we had Sherrod Brown on the show yesterday. And apparently there's a few bumps in the road, which may delay things, but in a way it might be good because you can ramp up the workforce even more. Can you explain what's going on? Go ahead.
Yeah, so first to speak to Sherrod Brown, you know, our senator who fights for working people every day. I can remember from day one when we were heading towards the big announcement of Intel, and Sherrod stood up and grabbed the mic and said, hey, if we're going to use federal dollars, if we're going to use CHIPS money, if we're going to use infrastructure fund, you know, not only are these jobs going to pay federal Davis-Bacon and prevailing wage, but I'm going to urge and encourage the contractor who builds it, which is Bechtel, to enter into a project labor agreement, which they've done. So, you know, just to recap things that we've talked about on the show, then I'll get to the point here. You know, the first phase of the Intel project is two fabs, which is basically two factories that produce chips. The total cost is going to be right around $20 billion. We have folks out there right now doing underground, doing utilities. We've built two batch plants out there on site, so we're not bringing concrete in from off-site. They're actually producing concrete on site and using it to pour the foundations and the walls for what are going to be the future fabs. I was actually just out there yesterday meeting with Bechtel, getting some updates on the project. And, you know, it does appear that we're not up to scale in the amount of manpower that was originally scheduled. Intel is incredibly happy with the progress. They're happy with Bechtel. They're very happy with everything that the Columbus Building Trades and our member unions are doing when it comes to terms for advocating for women and people of color. You know, our award-winning Building Futures program is obviously scaling up to produce more people, not just for Intel, but the other $140 billion worth of work that we have in the city and in Central Ohio. They're incredibly ecstatic about everything that we're doing. The individual local unions for recruitment, for organizing, for bringing folks into our ranks. You know, some of the stats that I regularly give is when I took this job 10 years ago, the IBW had a little over 900 members. They're over 2,600 members now, so they've almost tripled in just 10 years. Plumbers and pipe fitters, Local 189, have quadrupled their training facility. They went from a little over 10,000 square feet to over 44,000 square feet, their brand new state-of-the-art training facility that they're using to make sure that they can continue to grow and increase membership so that they can man, like I said, not only the Intel job, but also the other jobs that are happening. Iron Workers 172 built a new training center. The day that they opened their new training center, they broke ground on another training center to double the size of their training center. They're obviously growing and increasing their apprenticeship ranks. The roofers have acquired a new training center. Sheet metal workers have acquired a new training center. And everybody's looking to add additional staff, whether it's agents, reps, or organizers, or training directors, to make sure that we're getting out, we're doing outreach, we're bringing people on, we're getting people in the ranks to man this. But, you know, I look at it as a blessing that the pace has slowed down a little bit. I look for it to really ramp up when some more of the CHIPS funding starts hitting the ground, which will probably be quarter two or quarter three of next year. But I anticipate this time next year when we're speaking, we're going to have close to 6,000 people out there just directly working for Bechtel, building the fabs and stuff. And I would say we'll have another 4,000 people, you know, on the office building, the wastewater treatment plant, the ancillary work, the roads, the bridges, all the widening of the roads, you know, widening 161 that comes in and out of Columbus from Licking County. So I would imagine this time next year we'll have close to 10,000 tradespeople out there.
Unbelievable. So when is the projected date for opening that Intel plant right now? Do you have a time on that?
I don't have a time on it. I think that when the announcement was made last year, I think that they were hoping to be producing chips by quarter one of 26. I think that could still be a possibility. You know, it's just hard to tell. You know, obviously with construction, a lot of things factor in. It seems like one of the big issues at the time of the announcement was material supplies, and the material supply chain still hadn't recovered from the pandemic. It seems like that's recovering now. You know, basic things like plywood and 2x4s and concrete and metal studs and roofing materials and drywall. You know, if you're doing anything around your house, or if you're, you know, going out and visiting small commercial projects, it seems like all those basic materials, building materials, are starting to come down. So even though inflation is still going up when it comes to gas and food and things like that, it seems like it has stabilized and is actually starting to come down a little bit on materials, and materials are becoming more and more plentiful, which is really going to help us to man up and to try to hit that date. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think 2026 is a possibility. If it doesn't happen by 2026, I think that when it does open, will be a good time. The thing that I'm really ecstatic about is obviously when they made their announcement 2 years ago, they were committed towards phase one, which was two fabs at about $20 billion. I think that once they get the workforce there and they get them entrenched, I wouldn't be surprised if Intel just rolls into a second phase and builds Fab 3 and 4 too, which would be an additional $20 billion. So you'd be looking at about $40 billion worth of construction out there, especially once, you know, the city of Columbus gets their water treatment plant built that's going to help that area. Intel builds their own on-site water treatment plant, plus they get their office building there and they can add internal staff. And in everything they've done here locally with Columbus State and Ohio State and a lot of the local colleges, and, you know, to get people interested in these jobs that are going to be manning these facilities, producing these chips, many of these positions are going to be paying upwards of $125,000 a year. So I think that they're going to want to really ramp up and take control of their investment. And it's pretty similar to what we saw in Arizona in the late 90s and early 2000s when they first broke ground out there in 96. And as everyone knows, that construction is still ongoing as they finalize some of the buildings and some of the things that they're doing out there to complete the build out of their campus out there.
Yeah, we're talking the Silicon Valley of the Midwest here when this is all complete. Just amazing. Let's talk about this community benefit agreement. And I know you've got really good relations with the city government there, as well as the state government. But talk to me about this. What is it, a senior center that's going to be under construction?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, again, good timing. In a couple hours, I'll have my community benefit agreement meeting down at the that Columbus City Hall. It's chaired by council member Rob Dorans, who's also an IBW 683 member. The committee was formed by him, city council, and also Mayor Ginther, with appointees from around the community. Nana Watson, a huge advocate for organized labor, sits on that board. She's the president of our Columbus NAACP. There's folks from the mayor's office, Jason Jenkins, who's chief diversity and inclusion officer for Mayor Ginther. Another ally of union labor, and then Jeff Huntley from the Sheet Metal Workers sits on that board as well. But they meet, they discuss projects that are ripe for a community benefit agreement, specifically ones that are in some of the Celebrate One neighborhoods. We've used the CBA on Linden Rec Center, which was a tremendous job for the community. $32 million project, finished on time, under budget, during the height of COVID, which was obviously very stressful times for construction projects and workers, but we were able to do it, and we were able to recruit a local and diverse workforce from directly inside the neighborhood in the part of the city there, so that way folks that could see the project going up in their neighborhood could see people or even themselves working on that project, so it was reflective of the community, which is obviously what the building trade is all about. The mayor is continuing to step up through the CBA committee. His chief of staff, Ken Paul, a couple weeks ago, signed the community benefit agreement for the Fran Ryan Center. It's a retirement center named after Fran Ryan, who served two stints on city council. She was elected back in the 70s, was a longtime council member, and then she filled in for a vacancy a couple years ago until they could elect another council member. She also ran for Congress, but very active here in local politics, still very active. I'm sure I'll see her next Tuesday at election night, but a fitting thing for somebody who was so active in the Democratic Party here locally and so pro-organized labor with her roots and her friendships with managers and agents and organizers and Central Labor Council leaders and building trades leaders from the 70s to today, to have this senior center that she's advocated for to be built and to be built using 100% union labor, which will be reflective of a local and diverse workforce.
I just love the way that sounds. 100% union labor. I like that a lot. And I know you do too.
These community benefit agreements, I mean, people build things and they go up and they think, oh, this is a great building. But we have to think about the economic development behind them too and how they can benefit the community. And a lot of the stuff that we talked about with Intel, a lot of the things that Intel is doing and Bechtel is doing and that we're doing partnering with them. And then with our mayor, Andrew Ginther, who's going to get reelected next Tuesday, and our pro-labor city council, I think that we're really giving back to the community and we build these projects. It's not just brick and mortar and 2x4s and drywall and roofs and sidewalks. It's creating career pathways for folks that are making good union wages with benefits so they can provide for themselves and their family.
You got it. Two topics I want to get into. Well, we got Election Day next Tuesday. I know you want to touch on that, but the resurgence of labor unions. Dorsey, I'll tell you, I've been doing this show for 25 years, and you've seen some up and downs. You've seen what happened in the previous administration, the attack on labor, some states going right to work. Michigan going back, you know, dumping right to work. A good thing happened there, but with the Teamsters, the UAW, the healthcare workers out west, I mean, things are happening. I know you like what's going on out there. I'd like to get your perspective. Go ahead.
I have never seen a resurgence in the American labor movement like we've saw in the last 12 months in my 30-year career. You know, I entered the apprenticeship in 1993. I became business manager in 2003, 10 years later. And 10 years ago, I became head of the Columbus Building Trades. And some of the things that I'm seeing on the national level, I mean, it may sound sappy, but I mean it. It gives me hope, and it makes me excited to come to work every day when I see some of the things that the Teamsters have done in their negotiations and their bargaining. And it's not just the old style bargaining from 40, 50, 60 years ago where we want this and you're going to give us this or we're going to go on strike. It's tactical, it's precise, it's educated, it's valid arguments, going out and getting community support to support them. You know, it was just a little over a year ago here locally that CEA, you know, my friends John Coniglio and Phil Hayes, who lead the Columbus Education Association, were not only advocating for better pay and benefits for teachers and bus drivers and janitors and support staff and aides, but also they were advocating for the kids with more resources for like laptops and iPads and better uses of the classrooms and the buildings to be able to teach and educate them and get them ready for all the jobs that are coming here to Columbus and Central Ohio that are going to need these Columbus City School students, and also classrooms and you know, replacing roofs and mechanical systems and air conditioning and efficient heat and everything. And we really created a partnership and worked with them and got out in the community and were able to educate the school board and the superintendent to get what was needed for these teachers and stuff. And I see this on a national level now. I mean, you talk about some of these labor leaders right now. Marty Walsh, who heads the NHLPA and was the former labor secretary, and Sean Fain, and just all these folks. I mean, 10, 20, 30 years from now, our children and our grandchildren are going to be reading about these folks, much in the way that we were educated on George Meany and Jimmy Hoffa. And they're going to be seeing what these people did to restore the American labor movement, especially against some of these terrible free trade agreements that happened in the 90s and the dissolving of the strike with the air traffic controllers in the 80s under Reagan. And I think that it's really making a turn. And I think the biggest thing that we're doing is we're educating folks. And I think that people out there actually care about their fellow man, their brother and their sister, and they want everybody to do well. I know we say this all the time here locally, but if I see a school or a rec center or a community center going up, like, I want that person that I see on Sunday mornings in church, or I want that person that coaches my kid's soccer game on the weekend, putting in those toilets, running that electric, insulating those pipes. I don't want to see somebody from out of state or somebody who's not making good wages and benefits doing that work. I want that person to be able to make good wages and benefits so they can, you know, send their kid to school right alongside of my kid so they can, you know, be in the community and we can all share in the wealth. And I think that's what's happening. And I think people are starting to focus on that and seeing that labor unions surely are a path to the middle class.
And the best part of it, too, and the data shows this, the big resurgence in unions is in young people, 18, 24, 30 years of age, especially in the retail industry, Starbucks, Amazon warehouse folks. I mean, they're doing their best in, as far as organizing and making their cases before the media. So it's all good stuff, all good stuff. So bodes well for the years to come. All right, we got Election Day next Tuesday. How do you feel about this one here, Dorsey?
So I feel good here locally. I'm happy for my friend Mayor Andrew J. Ginther. He's going to get reelected. I'm happy for Rob Dorns. He's going to get reelected. I'm very happy for Sarah Ingalls. First time she's put her name on the ballot, she's going to get elected to Columbus City School Board. So I'm happy for her. She has huge ideas, things that she wants to do to, again, keep integrating organized labor with the Columbus City schools and try to do more so that it results in wins for the residents of the city of Columbus. I'm going to be interested to see how national polling and how, some of the things shake out in Kentucky and in Tennessee with the gubernatorial races, you know, so that's going to be interesting to watch. From a political standpoint, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here on the statewide level with issue one and issue two. And then one other local issue that I'm really happy about, and I think they've rallied, and I'm hoping that they cross the finish line, is issue 11 here locally, which is the Columbus City School Board levy. So I'm hoping that that does well as well. But election night is always a fun time. Me and a group of friends, local labor leaders here, we go out and we have dinner at about 6 o'clock after pole standing most of the day. And then we go to watch the returns around 8 o'clock, and hopefully around 10 or 10:30, we have a few celebratory beverages before we go in the next morning and start it all over again. But it's always fun times here in Columbus, Central Ohio, and hopefully it's a celebratory time on Tuesday night as the results come in. I think it will be.
We'll see. All right. Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Always enjoy talking to you, brother. ColumbusConstruction.org. You can follow them on Twitter at BuildCentralOH. You take care. We'll talk to you in a month, okay?
Sounds good. I hope we get back to our winning ways and we thump the Cardinals on Sunday, Flash. So go Browns. Have a good weekend, and I'll see you in a month.
You got it.